John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. John 14:23. Proverbs 30:5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Proverbs 30:5. Would you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11:32. Hebrews 11:32. It's always interesting to me on Sunday morning to watch you folk get ready. Some of you are looking for pens, and some of you are looking for paper, and some of you are trying to find a place that you want to sit and be comfortable. And so we're glad you're here today. I trust that you had a very good Christmas, and you're anticipating a new year with the opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are studying, as you know, the book of Judges, but we're finding now that we need to look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be glancing at several verses there and then making our way on down to verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. All of us are fully aware of the fact that to study God's Word, it's important that we be in harmony and fellowship with our Savior. We are to admit and to confess our faults and failures and sins. Let God forgive us and cleanse us. Then we're ready for the dissemination of His Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the fact that we have been blessed, all of us, so tremendously. We're the recipients of your matchless love and grace poured out on us in such a fantastic fashion. And so we bow today to express our thanks for the fact that you do care. And you promised us in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We're thankful for the opportunity now to move our minds away from the distractions of this world and focus our attention upon these things from your word, which are eternal. We praise you and thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. When I look at this verse, you can see that it says, "And what more shall I say?" There was a little boy sitting in the service one time, and he was rather perturbed and felt like he had been at the service a long time. It was time for it to be over. The pastor was reading this verse of Scripture and said, "What more shall I say?" And he repeated it, "What more shall I say?" The little boy raised his hand and said, "Say amen." "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to speak concerning Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, both David and Samuel, and the prophets." If you have your Bible open to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I'm going to call your attention to several different verses. We're going to all be aware of the fact that this is the faith hero chapter. And so we're finding heroes of faith in this magnificent 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. What's amazing to me is, as we study the book of Judges and the various 15 judges that we find there, we find that it's amazing that we find those listed right here, some of them. Now, perhaps I need to tell you that we have, and I'm going to look this over with you from last Sunday, the book of Judges covers the time from the death of Joshua to the ascension of Saul to the throne of Israel. I'm going to give you time to think about that because I want you to have a little background. Judges, the book of Judges, covers the time from the death of Joshua to the ascension of Saul to the throne of Israel. It covers a period of time considered to be approximately 350 years, a time ruled by judges whom God raised up to deliver people very oppressed. In fact, we find in Judges 17:6 the interesting passage of Scripture that says, "In those days there was no king in Israel." You remember that we emphasized last Sunday Israel had been in bondage in Egypt for a period of 40 years, living in tents, wandering in the wilderness, but now that march is over. This change was not easy for nomads to become settlers in their own land. What we discovered as we studied last Sunday, and this is a very, very brief review, we discover that here we see a new nation adjusting her national life filled with struggles and difficulties. When you get yourself into the book of Judges, you will find that there are 15 names listed there. I would like for you to pay close attention to what I have on the screen now. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Barak, Gideon, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibsen, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, and Samuel. If you're looking now at these names, you can immediately see that in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, four of these names are there. So I'm going to move this now off the page and let you now look again at Hebrews chapter 11, 32. "For the time would fail me to speak concerning Gideon, Barak, Samson." So we have Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. So I wanted you to be able to put down those four names that you find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Now we're going to spend a little time looking at some heroes of faith in this magnificent 11th chapter. Please open your Bible and look, please, at verse 3 of chapter 11. "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." Verse 4, "By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain." Now glance down at verse 5. "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death." I'm not reading all the verses, I just want you to see what we're pointing out. Look down at verse 7. "By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen." Look at verse 8. "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going." Glance down at verse 11. "By faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised." Glance down at verse 17. "By faith, Abraham." Look over at verse 20. "By faith, Isaac." Look at verse 21. "By faith, Jacob." Look at verse 22. "By faith, Joseph." Look at verse 23. "By faith, Moses." Again in 24. "By faith, Moses." Look at verse 27. "By faith, he left Egypt." Verse 28. "By faith, he kept the Passover." Verse 29. "By faith, they passed through the Red Sea." Verse 30. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down." Verse 31. "By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace." Now, did you see how I led up to where I'm reading now, verse 32? "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets." Now, I would be assured of the fact that you're interested in these four names that are listed in the Hero of Faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. What I'm going to do now is to make it easy for you. I want you to see that you find Gideon in the book of Judges, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, going all the way through chapter 8, verse 35. You might want to take these verses down because we're not going to have time to go through all of these, but I want you to see that Gideon is presented to us in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 1 through chapter 8, verse 35. The second one that's listed in our Hebrew passage is Barak, and we find that in Judges chapter 4, verse 9, all the way through chapter 5, verse 31. You may be interested in putting these down because I believe that you would find, if you read through these passages, some unusual things taking place that you will not normally find as a preacher preaches on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis. So we have Gideon in Judges 6, 1 through chapter 8, verse 35. You have Barak in Judges chapter 4, verse 9 through chapter 5, verse 31. Then you find Samson. Samson is also listed in our Hebrew passage. We find Samson presented to us in Judges chapter 13 through 16. I realize as I made preparation for today that there was no possible way that I could get far enough to get to Samson. So I decided that I would just put this up here for you so that you'll know that on Wednesday night we'll be giving attention to Samson. And then Jephthah is found in Judges chapters 11 and 12, two chapters there. I wanted you to be able to see that we have some interesting verses of Scripture before us. It's amazing to me when I think in terms of these four individuals. Judges 6, 1 through 8, 35, Gideon. Barak, Judges 4, chapter verse 9 through chapter 5, verse 31. Samson, Judges 13 through 16. And Jephthah, Judges chapters 11 and 12. I cannot imagine how magnificent and wonderful I am to you folk to give you time to copy this down if you desire to have it. It's interesting that the author of the book of Hebrews lists four men from the period of Judges. Then there's followed by David and Samuel and the prophets. What is interesting to me is that he does not list in chronological order these four judges. We find here that Gideon followed Barak, Samson followed Jephthah. Then we get over into the prophets and we find David following Samuel. So no one knows why the author of the book of Hebrews gives us this list. Some say that he just did it in a spontaneous manner. I'm not sure about that. I'm interested in seeing, though, that the first five men all had some serious shortcomings. But in spite of all these flaws, God chose to use individuals. What we're going to be able to see as we look at these individuals, that not any of them would be classified as living a wholesome, perfect, right type of life. Now, I don't want to comfort you today by any imperfections in your life and mine, but I want you to be able to see that as we study these individuals, we're going to find over and over again that God uses imperfect individuals. And so it's interesting that all of these five individuals that are mentioned here had serious shortcomings. They had various flaws, and God was able still to use them in a magnificent way. Gideon at first was cowardly and had to be coaxed to do what God wanted him to do. You remember that after his amazing victory with 300 men over the Midianites' army of 135,000, he made an epic that lured Israel into idolatry. So we see these judges coming on the scene when the nation has gone down into idolatry and all kinds of disobedience. Then God raises up a judge. And then the judge goes along for a while, and then all of a sudden, they too begin to go down. And so the nation goes down again into disobedience and idolatry, and God raises up another judge. That's amazing to me. Barak, for instance, won a great victory for Israel over an army that had 900 chariots. Now, 900 chariots in that day would be similar to 900 military tanks in our day. I got to thinking about that. It was amazing to me, and discovered that Barak won a great victory for Israel over an army that had 900 chariots. And we'll talk about that again in just a little while. Only did it at the prodding of a woman. Also, we discover that Deborah, Samson, routed out the Philistines on numerous occasions, yet he was tripped up by his own lust for foreign women. It's always amazing how these women can get these men in trouble. Have you ever noticed? Uh-oh, someone said amen to that. Then you'll look at this passage of Scripture and you'll see there's Jephthah. Now, you'll have to understand that Jephthah was a son of a harlot. It's amazing to me how these individuals came on the scene from various backgrounds with all of their imperfections, with all of their flaws, and yet God chose to use them. So we discover that Jephthah won a victory, but then made a rash vow to sacrifice the first thing that came out of his house, which was his daughter. Now, some of you probably remember that story. Now, I'm not going to read it anymore because I realize that we have on the screen some information. We have, first of all, an emphasis on Gideon. Now, let's talk a little bit about Gideon. I have various things that I need to share with you about this guy called Gideon. The best way for me to do this is to make for myself an outline. You may want to take some of this down. Gideon was called also Jerubbabel. Jerubbabel in chapter 6, 29 and 32. When I read through these verses, I discovered something. And that is that in Judges 6, 1 through 8, 35, we have presented to us there a history that presented circumstantial narration of this man by the name of Gideon. He was the fifth judge of Israel from 1191 B.C. to 1151. That's a 40 years period of time. He came from the tribe of Manasseh. God used to achieve mighty victory over the Midianites who were oppressing Israel at that time. The fifth thing is that he overthrew altars of Baal, cut down the Asherah, blew alarm trumpet. Now, there's a whole lot of information right there. The Asherah was the goddess of love, and we won't get into discussion there. He overthrew altars of Baal. He cut down this goddess of love. He blew alarm trumpet. Then the scripture says in Judges 6, 11 through 18, that he was visited by an angel of the Lord. It's important for you to put this down. He was visited by an angel from the Lord. I pause for a moment to tell you that in the second service today, we're going to emphasize what would be classified as an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. These are called theologically theophanies. The word theophany just simply means an appearance of Jesus Christ before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Christophanies emphasize the things that took place in relationship to Jesus Christ after the death, burial, and resurrection. But we discover when we go back to the first verse of the book of Genesis, as we looked at this last Wednesday night, it says, in the beginning, God. And we discover that all members of the Godhead were involved. So we look at that and we see beautifully how the scripture reveals that Jesus Christ was very, very, very active before he was born. It's very interesting for us to realize that Jesus Christ was very active before he was born physically. When you go to the first chapter of the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, there you'll find again an emphasis upon the same individual. Because when you glance down at John chapter 1 verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So you see Jesus in various places throughout the Word of God. It's exciting to me to be able to see how many times Jesus Christ is presented to us in the Old Testament. That's the reason why right now we're studying Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. Do you understand? That's the reason. But then let me go on right here that Gideon in Judges 6, 11 through 18 was visited by an angel of the Lord. That's a theophany. Then number 7, called a mighty man of valor with the following characteristics. I thought this was unique. Humility, caution, spirituality, tact, loyalty, divine inspiration, divine fellowship. But then the scripture goes on to say he was weakened by prosperity. Please put down something that you need to remember, that God uses oftentimes individuals being the recipient of prosperity, but if they are not careful, prosperity can become a weakness for them. And that's what we find happened in the life of Gideon. I put it on some notes here. Gideon was called Zerubbabel in Judges 6, 29, 31, was the first of the judges whose history is circumstantially narrated. I try to put that in concise form. His calling is the commencement of the second period in the history of the judges. After the victory gained by Deborah and Barak over Jabin, Israel once more sank into idolatry. And the Midianites and the Amalekites, with other children of the east, crossed the Jordan each year for 7 successive years for the purpose of plundering and desolating the land. But interesting enough, Gideon received a direct call from God to undertake the task of delivering the land from these warlike invaders. Now also, when you go to the book of Joshua chapter 17 in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, you'll find that Gideon came from the family of Abiezer, A-B-I-E-Z-E-R, of the little town of Ophrah. And that's presented in Judges 6:11. First, with 10 of his servants, he overthrew the altars of Baal. He cut down that love god. And then we discover that there was the time of the blowing of the trumpet, which was alarm. And the people flocked to his standard on the crest of Mount Gilboa to the number of 22,000 men. I found this so very interesting. But these were, however, reduced to only 300. Remember that? These strangely armed with torches and pitchers and trumpets rushed in from these different points to the camp of Midian at midnight in the valley to the north of Morah with a terrible war cry, "For the Lord and for Gideon! For the Lord and for Gideon!" That's found in Judges 7:18. The terror-stricken Midianites were put into dire confusion, and in the darkness they slew one another, so that only 15,000 out of the great army of 120,000 escaped alive. I can't help but just get excited when I read things like this. It says then, the memory of this great deliverance impressed itself deeply on the mind of the nation. In 1 Samuel 12:11, Psalm 83:11, Isaiah 9:4, Isaiah 10:26, and listen, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. That's where we are right now. The land had now rest for 40 years. Gideon died in an old age, buried in the sepulcher of his fathers. Soon after his death, a change came over the people. They again forgot God. They turned to the worship of Baal. And the scripture says in Judges 8:35, neither showed they kindness to the house of Zerubbabel. Gideon left behind him 70 sons, a feeble, sadly degenerated race, with one exception, and that was Abimelech, who seems to have much of the courage and energy of his father, yet a restless and unscrupulous ambition. He gathered around him a band who slaughtered all Gideon's sons, except Jotham. Now that's interesting indeed. Wow. Now let me tell you that we've taken a little glance at Gideon. I try to decide what I should do, how fast I should go, how much of each one of these I should present. But I want you to have an overview. Judges presents Gideon in chapter 6, verse 1, through 8, verse 35. That brings us then to Barak. I'm not sure I even hesitate or use this name, but I want you to understand that it's not a bad name because we find it in Judges 4, 9 through chapter 5, verse. I'm laughing at myself now. You have to understand that if preaching can't be fun, then I'm just going to stop. But preaching has been fun, and I'm having a little fun with myself. Okay, so much with having fun with myself. Barak was another of those mighty Hebrew warriors who answered the call of God despite overwhelming odds. His name means lightning. Once again, in the time of the judges, Israel had drifted away from God. When I do my research, I find this over and over and over again. Once again, in the time of the judges, Israel had drifted away from God. And the Canaanites oppressed them for 20 years. God called up a lady by the name of Deborah, a wise and holy woman, to be the judge and the prophetess over the Jews. The only female among these judges that I read for you at the beginning. So we discover then that Deborah summoned Barak, telling him God had commanded him to gather the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali to go to Mount Tabor. Now look at what we're going to find about Barak. Barak hesitated, saying he would go only if Deborah went with him. Are you listening? Barak hesitated, saying that he would only go if Deborah went with him. Now, what's Deborah going to do? Deborah agreed. But because of Barak's lack of faith in God, she told him credit for the victory would not go to him at all. Barak led a force of 10,000 men. Now, the reason I'm reading this is because I find this so unique, because I discover that there is a commander of King Jabin's Canaanite army. Stay with me and let me repeat this. There is a commander of King Jabin's Canaanite army. His name is spelled S-I-S-E-R-A. We can say Sisera, a Sisera. You can say it however you want to. But Barak led a force of 10,000 men. But this commander of a King Jabin's Canaanite army had the advantage that I told you a few moments ago of 900 iron chariots. Now stay with me and let's remember that this would be compared to 900 military tanks in our day. So we discover then that Deborah told Barak to advance because the Lord had gone before him. Well, Barak and his men raced down Mount Tabor. God brought something unique. He brought a massive rainstorm. The ground became mud, bogging down these 900 military chariots. Are you with me? I just want you to see this. I have to tell you that God always knows what He's doing. You and I sometimes may wonder, When things don't seem to go the way we think they ought to go, we may wonder. But we must put it down that God always knows what He's doing. That's the reason why I'm reading this carefully to you. God brought a massive rainstorm. The ground turned to mud, bogging down these 900 chariots. The stream Kishon overflowed, sweeping many of the Canaanites away. The Bible says Barak and his men pursued, that not one of Israel's enemies was left alive. Wow. But that's not the end of the story. Boy, and I kept reading. I tell you, this became more exciting. Sisera, however, managed to escape. What he did was he ran to a tent of a woman by the name of Jael, J-A-E-L, a Kenite woman. Well, you know what she did? Some of you know this story. Some of you don't. She took that man in. She gave him milk to drink. She had him lie down on a mat so he could take a pleasant nap. And when he slept, she took a tent stake and a hammer, and she drove that stake through his temple, killing him. Now, some of you are saying, where have you been reading? I've been reading the Bible, folks. Sisera, however, managed to escape. He got into this lady's house. She gave him something to drink, a milk, and he decided he'd take a nap, and she took care of him. Well, then Barak arrived. And so this Kenite woman said, come here. I want to show you something. And she took him over, and she showed him Sisera's corpse. So Barak and his army eventually destroyed Jabin, king of Canaanites. And then there was peace in Israel for the next 40 years. Isn't it amazing how exciting it can be to read the wonderful Word of God? When I look at Barak, I drew some conclusions. He's classified, one, as a Hebrew warrior. Number two, he answered God's call despite overwhelming odds. His name means lightning. Israel had drifted from God, as we already know. 20 years of depression followed when God called Deborah, the only female judge. Deborah commanded Barak to go to war, though he hesitated. He led a force of 10,000 men. This is a review. His enemy of 900 chariots. As I've already said, this would be compared to military tanks. As the battle progressed, a massive rainstorm came. The ground turned to mud. The 900 chariots bogged down. The stream Kishon overflowed, sweeping many of the Canaanites away. Barak's army pursued, leaving not one of Israel's enemies alive. You have to understand how I study and how I desire for you to get the information. I'll go over things and I think about things and then I summarize things. That's the reason why I'm doing it this way. Sisera, commander of King Jabin's army, managed to escape. He ran to the tent of Jael, J-A-E-L, a Kenite woman, who gave him nourishment. Then while he slept, she drove a tent stake through his temple. When Barak arrived, this young lady showed him Sisera's corpse. 40 years of peace followed for Israel. You're listening so well. We'll skip down now, because Samson is going to take some time for Wednesday night. We're skipping now to Jephthah. The judge for 6 years, Jephthah. We find the information about him in Judges chapters 11 and 12. Number two, judge. He was a judge over Israel for 6 years. Number three, he lived in Gilead, a member of the tribe of Manasseh or the tribe of Gad. His father's name also was Gilead. What I discover about the Bible is it presents the good and it presents the bad. The Bible can present lies and guarantee you that the lies are what they are. Doesn't mean that the lies are right. It means that the lies were presented and God shows you the proof that the lie was actually presented. Isn't that amazing? So you have to understand when you study the Word of God that not everything you're going to read is wholesome. Not everything you're going to read is the G-rated. I've discovered that some of it gets all the way down to X or XX and sometimes XXX. Are you with me? The reason I'm preparing you for this is what I'm going to give you next. We discover that Jephthah's father's name was also Gilead. Now, there's a reason for that. His mother is described in the Bible as a prostitute. So the dad could have been any of the men of the area. I don't want to be rude or unkind. I'm just letting you see what the Bible is teaching here. So when they decided to give the daddy a name, they gave him Gilead. So we find Gilead, the name. So his father's name was also Gilead. His mother is described as a prostitute. So the dad could have been any of the men of that area. What this so shows me is this is evidence of how God chooses to use individuals. I don't want to be ugly to you today, but I want to remind you that you may look at your own life and say, I'm just not all that great. I have failed miserably in my life. I've made a lot of mistakes. Let me tell you something. This is evidence of how God chooses to use individuals. If we don't get anything else out of this message, I want you to get the fact that God does use sinners because that's what we are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is perfect. So we find Jephthah, an evidence of God choosing individuals no matter what their background is. Number six, Jephthah led in the battle with the Ammonites and defeated them. It shows again how God can use this individual no matter what his background is. And number seven, Jephthah then is listed among major judges on the ground of the length of the biblical narrative. And the fact that when you go to Hebrews 11:32, it says, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. And here we find him, right here. I wasn't aware of how long it would take me to get to this point. And we're here at this point. So it's time for the break. If you want to come in earlier, that would be fine with me for the next Bible study. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for the fact that you care for us, love us, have blessed us so richly. We're able to see how you use individuals no matter what their background is. All of us know that we're sinners, saved by God's grace. We're aware of the fact that in us there is nothing really all that good, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches us there's none good, no, not one. We're aware of the fact that we have evidence over and over again in the Word of God how you take individuals and use them, no matter what their background, no matter what their disobediences have been in the past. You can transform and change lives. And we're thankful that you're doing that in our day. as well as in the past. We realize that those who hear this message who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior must be aware of the fact. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And we're thankful that the Scripture teaches us if we have the Son, we have life. If we do not have the Son, we do not have that eternal life. We pray that there will be those who will trust you as their personal Lord and Savior right now. The Scripture teaches, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that just now. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.